Amen, amen. Thank you, praise team. Appreciate that. I pray that is your heart's desire, is to worship the Lord. Monty, I'm going to move your compass just right over there, okay? Just so I don't knock it off. Take your Bibles this morning. Go back once again to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. I know we keep starting there, but we keep going other places, and I've been wanting to finish this verse number 18 in Ephesians chapter number 6. I do hope you've had a great week. Beautiful weather the Lord's given to us. The sun is shining. The air is warm for the most part, unless you're in the shade and it's windy or something like that. But I hope you've had a great week. Hey, listen, it's important to be together as a church family. Turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you glad you're here? Now, did you say that and mean it? I'm telling you, I don't know. I think that's important. And sometimes we have all the things going on throughout our week, and we have all kinds of things we're thinking about and all kinds of things happening, and the devil fights hard. He doesn't want us to be together as Christians. He doesn't want us to worship the Lord. He's lost our souls because of our faith in Christ, but he wants our joy. He wants our praise. He wants our contentment. And so he'll do everything he can to keep us from worshiping and focusing upon the Lord. So it's important to be together as Christians on Sundays to worship Christ and all that he has done for us. Just in case you haven't been here, we're reminding ourselves that we've been discussing Ephesians chapter number 6, specifically verses 10 through 17, which mentions the particular pieces of the armor. And we've made our way through those pieces of armor, and we're in verse number 18, where I believe the Apostle Paul begins to discuss the secret of a true secret to, well, it's not a secret, but this true understanding of how to have victory in spiritual warfare. I don't know if I need to remind you, but just in case, you do realize we're in a spiritual battle. There is warfare going on around us, maybe unseen, but there is a spiritual battle. The Bible reminds us to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because the devil has a plan for you. He has a plan for destruction. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the Bible says in verse 12, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is spiritual battle. If your eyes could be open for a moment to see what is really taking place around you, I think you would be amazed and you would probably fall to your knees in prayer for the strength of Christ. So we understand, as we have worked our way through this passage, the devil has a scheme to bring you down. It's different for everyone. It really is. Some of you aren't tempted to do what someone else may be. The Bible says there's no temptation but taken you, but such is common to men. The devil continues to work. He wants you to doubt God's word. He wants you to doubt God's truth. And basically, every temptation is to get you to not follow or to obey what God has laid out as truth in his word. So he'll do anything he can to get you to say no to God and yes to his lies and his temptation. So we found our way all the way to verse number 18, and we're going to spend most of our time in this passage this morning. Well, the Bible says this in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're going to go back and continue to talk about prayer and the importance of prayer this morning. In the ancient cities, from what I understand, there was a watchman that stood on the wall while other people slept. I'm sure you're aware of some of those customs. His job was not to fight the enemy necessarily, but to see the enemy coming. The watchman that was on the wall did not maybe fire a warning shot or whatever it may be, but his job was not to fight the enemy, but to see the enemy coming. I believe in this passage in chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible is reminding us that prayer keeps us awake spiritually. Many believers fall into the schemes and the lies of the deceptions of the devil, not because they wanted to sin, but because they stopped watching for the lies and the deception of the devil. I believe prayer in the believer's life sharpens discernment. It keeps us alert from danger before it becomes a disaster. Believers don't fall suddenly to the praise of the devil. Oftentimes, it is a continually not watching and not paying attention to the truth of God's word, and the devil slowly leads you away from the things of God. As we have seen through this passage in verses 10 through 17, we've seen the armor of God, and we've seen the soldier fully dressed. He's armed, he's protected, right? He has on the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit is in his hands, his loins are girt about with truth, the sword of the Spirit, as I've already mentioned, the shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and different items of this soldier's outfit. But, in my opinion, up to this point, in verse number 18, we have not seen the source of the soldier's power. I believe this power is found through prayer. As the soldier may be standing inactive, fully armed, but prayer becomes his source for his life. Prayer is what activates the believer in this battle. And so, as I mentioned in verse 18 in previous weeks, the word all is used four different times through verse number 18. And it reminds us of the call to prayer. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 18, praying always. Now, I had you do this before, but how often should you pray? Now, you had to sleep better than that last night, all right? So how often should we pray? Thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. I thought for a second you had already fallen asleep on me, all right? And so the Apostle Paul says that we should pray always. And I mentioned in previous sermons once again that that does not necessarily mean that you walk around all day with your eyes closed, right? And you're just, you know, you're going everywhere like, what are you doing? Well, I'm in a spirit of prayer. Well, you're going to bump into something and hurt yourself, okay? But what he's talking about with praying always, and I mentioned, it's a posture of continual dependence upon God. Praying always is a posture or a position of continual dependence upon God. It's one thing to pray before the event, but are we reminded to pray after the event and thanking God for what he has done? It's one thing to pray before surgery, but do we pray after surgery, recognizing what God has done in our lives? How about when things are going good, right? You woke up one day like, it's been a great day. I didn't need to pray. Everything was perfectly fine. Well, as a Christian, our attitude should be one of continual dependence upon God. Prayer, listen, understand this, believer, as he's saying in verse number 18, praying always. Prayer should not be an event. It should be a relationship. Does that make sense? Sometimes we view prayer as just an event that happened throughout the day, right? But prayer should be a relationship with God, a posture of dependence upon God in our lives. You're driving down the road and your tire goes flat on your vehicle. You recognize God, and I've begun to think this way, what have you spared me from? Up the road a little further. I'm depending upon you. I'm relying upon you. You know what I need before I even ask. And so I'm recognizing that I want to have a posture of continual dependence upon God. So prayer is not just an event. It's a relationship with God. I'm praying always. I pray in the morning before the battle. I can pray in the middle of the fight. I can pray, and number three, this is important. I want to talk about this for just a moment. I can pray in the battle. I can pray in the middle of the battle. I can pray when I'm winning the battle. But you know what? Sometimes I have to pray when I'm wounded in the battle. You ever been wounded? Have you ever had something happen in your life where you it wounded you and it hurt you? And I can continue to pray even in the midst of being wounded. You ever had somebody upset with you about something? You ever had somebody say something to you, true or untrue? Have you ever had situations where you were hurt or wounded or your family was going through difficult times? All that is part of this battle. And so the Apostle Paul reminds you to continue to pray in the midst of this warfare you're in the middle, in the morning, in the fight, when you're winning and when you're losing and when you're wounded. Continue to pray. A spirit of prayer. One author says it like this: too many believers treat prayer like a spare tire, only use in emergencies. Have you seen the little tires they give you with some of these cars, right? You know, you can't go over 45 miles an hour, and you see someone pass you going 80 with a little donut tire on, whatever it may be. But sometimes as Christians, let's be honest. Let's just get real for a moment. No more pretend. No more fake. Do we have an attitude of prayer? Or do we treat prayer like the spare tire in the back that's often flat and underinflated and it's full of mud and dirt and all kinds of things, and we treat prayer only to be used in emergency? But as we study Scripture, we find that Scripture teaches us to view prayer instead of like a spare tire, to treat it more like oxygen that we need constantly, right? My dad used to get the hiccups terrible, right? You know, there's all these different remedies of how to heal the hiccups, you know. And I remember as a kid, you get the hiccups, and what they used to tell you to do? Hold your breath, right? And you got the hiccups, and you're holding your breath. But there comes a time where you've got to breathe again, right? Sometimes as Christians, when we're not praying, it's like we're holding our breath, right? Why don't I have any energy? Why don't I have any power? Why am I always defeated? Well, I'll tell you why. You're holding your breath. Prayer is to be, in Scripture, is treated like oxygen. It's a posture of dependence upon God. Praying, he says, always, in every aspect of my life. Now, I'm just going to warn you, and I don't want to scare you from praying, but the devil doesn't like it when you pray. Well, he doesn't. I mean, he'll bring up stuff you wouldn't even believe when you commit to spending time in prayer. And let me tell you something else. He also does not like when a church prays. He'll attack in every way that he possibly can, because he knows a praying church is a church that's going to have the power of God upon it, and God's going to work in hearts, and people are going to be saved, and people are going to come back to the Lord, and all these different things can happen. So when a church starts praying, the devil is going to come. So be mindful. Be watchful. Like the watchman on the wall. He may not fight, but he's aware of what is happening. The Bible says, be sober, right? Be vigilant, because your adversary walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the Bible calls us in this battle to be praying always, and not treating prayer like a spare tire, but to be treating it like oxygen in our lives as we are dependent upon God. But then there's a second phrase that's used in verse number 18. He says, praying always. And then he begins, I believe, to talk about the types of prayers. He says in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication. In other words, I think if we could just kind of break this down for a moment, I think the idea is that prayer can be accomplished in different ways, in different motives, in different understandings. In other words, don't get stuck in a rut with your prayer. Don't just repeat the same thing. I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, but don't just continually say the same thing, because we're reminded that prayer is a relationship with God. What if in your relationship with other people, if you said the same thing every day? And would that be weird, Jim and Leslie, if that's all you said, the same thing, you woke up in the morning, the same words, is that what Leslie does? All right, never mind, I'll use someone else. Anyway, if you just had that relationship and it was the same thing every day, nothing changed, right? How are you? Fine. By the way, man, if your wife says she's fine, that's a lie. All right, don't believe that, okay? If she says fine, you've done something bad. All right? So anyway, that's free. That's for another message. But anyway, if you had that same situation where you just say the same thing over and over and over, sometimes as Christians we're guilty of this, right? How are you, brother? Oh, I'm blessed. Can we be real sometimes, you know? Sometimes I think we need to be vulnerable with each other and say, I've had a hard week. I need your prayers. I need your help and things. And so, but the Bible's talking about prayer and supplications. Prayer, we could view that as general communication with God, that we're communicating with God. But also, he says, praying always with prayer, we're communicating with God, but also with supplications, specifics, urgent requests. I think the idea of prayer and supplication includes these things. Sometimes when I pray, I'm praising God. God, you're so amazing what you have done. Look at this world you have created. Look at this body that I live in. Look at the stars and the moon and the sun. You're amazing. Thank you for salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. I praise God in all that He has done. But you know, sometimes in prayer and supplication, I have prayers of confession, right? Lord, I wasn't right in this situation. Lord, I wasn't right in how I responded to this in my life, or I shouldn't have reacted this way, or this thought that I had in my mind. Lord, I confess these things to you. And confession is just you agreeing with God. He already knows everything anyway. And so in prayer and confession, you know what, sometimes, and I know this is easy preaching and hard living, but sometimes I think we just need a good old-fashioned confession before the Lord. Is that popular? No, it's not popular, is it? To say, Lord, I've not been walking with you. I've been doubting your word. I've been going astray in this area or that area. And I'm confessing these things in my life. I'm living every day in a daily posture of my relationship with you. But prayer and supplication, I'm praising, I'm confessing, and I'm thanking God for what He has done. Remember what Romans says? One of the signs of people not walking with God, they weren't thankful anymore. When we're thankful, we're acknowledging the source of things. We're acknowledging God as the source in our life. And so our prayers and our supplication of praise and confession and thanksgiving, and sometimes I'm praying for others. I know the last couple of weeks you all have been praying prayer of intercession for Judy, right? For Tom and Sandy's daughter. Lord, help her, heal her, guide her, direct her, bring her body back to health. Sometimes in prayer, I'm praising and confessing, I'm thanking, and I have intercession. But you know what? Sometimes in my prayer, I have petitions as well. Lord, I got a situation that only you can handle. Lord, I have this thing in my life, this burden that's going on, and I'm coming to you in prayer, asking you to work and to move as only you can. So he says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. I have a relationship with God. I'm praising, I'm confessing, I'm thanking Him, I'm praying intercession, and I have petitions before the Lord. I have a relationship with God. I don't think God ever meant for prayer to be rigid or scripted. Listen, I think sometimes God welcomes cries to Him. I think God welcomes whispers, tears, and even prayers of silence where you can't even hardly utter anything, but you know, your heart knows, and God knows what you're saying to Him. Praying always with all prayer and supplications. I'm praising God. I'm thanking God. I'm interceding. I'm lamenting. I have petitions to the Lord because I have a relationship with Him. One author says it this: it's not eloquence that God recognizes or responds to, it's dependence. I like that. It's not eloquence that He responds to, it's dependence that He responds to. You know, we all probably have the ability to pray some pretty eloquent prayers, right? I mean, especially when we pray in front of other people, right? Oh, it's going to be a good one, so-and-so, they're listening to me, and we put all the key words in there, right? And it's just crafted beautifully. I hate to bust your bubble and get in trouble, but that's not what God's looking for. He doesn't want a prayer of eloquence. He wants a prayer of dependence where we're saying, God, I need you. And I'm thanking you because I know you have done this. And I'm praising you because you are the one worthy of praise. And I'm petitioning you because I know you are the only one that can handle this situation. And I'm depending upon you. But don't wait for that type of prayer to be when the tire goes flat. Have that daily relationship with God where you have a posture of prayer. Why? Because you're in a spiritual battle. That's why. Because the devil wants to take you down, and he has a plan to do it. And so you're seeking God to help you in this battle that you are in. Some prayers can be as simple as this: Lord, save me. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I mean, God recognizes prayer of dependence, not necessarily eloquence. And then we see here in chapter 6 and verse number 18, once again, we're praying always a spirit of dependence upon God with prayer and supplication, with request to the Lord, a prayer of communication with Him. But then here we see what I think could be the source of true prayer. I read an illustration this week. It says this: a sailboat can raise its sails perfectly, but with no wind, it goes nowhere. A sailboat can raise its sails perfectly, but with no wind, it goes nowhere. We can say the right words, we can sound spiritual, but without the Spirit of God, as this says here, prayer becomes an empty motion. We pray in the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. He says in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It doesn't necessarily mean emotional hype. Say, Josh, be careful. Don't talk about the Spirit too much. We're Baptist, right? Careful, Baptist, don't talk about the Spirit of God. We don't want people going crazy, right? Right? But because we act like that, sometimes we don't recognize the power and the working of Spirit in our lives, of the Spirit of God. But the Bible says that we pray. It doesn't necessarily mean emotional hype, but I think praying in the Spirit has the idea of prayers that are guided by the Spirit of God. Have you ever had a burden in your life where you felt a need to pray? That's guided by the Spirit of God, as He directs you to pray. But our prayers are guided by the Spirit of God and empowered by the Spirit of God. And let me tell you something else about praying in the Spirit. As you pray guided by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, guess what your prayers become? Aligned with the will of God, which is what we want to pray, right? The Bible says we shouldn't pray amiss, right, for our own things. Sometimes I think we can pray selfish prayers. Lord, strike them with lightning. That's not according to the will of God. Lord, you saw what they did. May their car break down on the way to Costco. And may the gas price not be as cheap as yesterday. We can do silly things. I mean, that's ridiculous. But when we pray led by the Spirit of God, guided by the Spirit of God, empowered by the will of God, then our prayers are aligned with the will of God. Isn't that what the Lord's Prayer says? Not my will be done, but thine? That's what our prayer is. I want to be praying for your will in my life. And sometimes prayer is aligning me with the will of God. Romans mentions this same situation with groanings which cannot be uttered. He says in Romans 8:26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And then he says this: for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with what? With groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm not going to pretend I understand everything that's taking place there. I know I want to, and I know I would love to witness that, but I know what he says: the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The only little hint I have to this passage is the story I've already told you about when I had my kidney surgery, and I was in surgery for 14 hours as they cut 7 tumors out of my left kidney. And I was there so long that the hospital was shutting down. I had surgery at National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. And Joanna, the TV screen even shut off. You know where they do the updates for the surgery? I was there so long, Joanna and my mom and dad were the last ones there, and the TV shut off, no more updates, and I'm still gone, and they've not said anything. And I was in surgery for 14 hours there. And it was maybe a day after surgery, after I had awakened violently, after being asleep that long, and I was fighting against all the things they had hooked up to me and under anesthesia that long. And I remember just praying to God, God, help me recover from this. Help me to be able to be there for my family and kids in this situation. And as I was laying there, and I can't explain what happened. I'm just telling you what happened. All of a sudden, there I see, and there's this huge room, right? And it's like an auditorium, like a football stadium. And it's just full of people, right? And all of a sudden, this person walks out and commands the stadium. And he says, you must pray for Josh Osteen. That's what I saw. I don't know. I'll remember it like it was yesterday. And then he repeats again, you must pray for Josh Osteen. And then the sound was deafening. Prayers. The stadium erupted in prayers. It's word after word. And I just kept hearing in my ears, Josh, pray for Josh. And everyone's just praying for me. And I can't explain it, but this is the verse that God gave to me, is Romans 8:26. We don't even know what to pray for, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. I don't understand it, but I know that we pray guided by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, aligned with the will of God. Romans 8:26 tells us the Spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray. Sometimes, as I mentioned already, prayer is not about getting the words right, but about letting God shape our hearts through prayer. Do you realize what we have as Christians? To walk daily in a relationship with God through prayer. You are not in this battle alone. If you read the first parts of Ephesians 6, you're like, oh man, it's over. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. As teenagers say, the word that they use nowadays, I'm cooked. Do y'all still say that? It changes so much. You know, I don't know what's going on. But they say, I'm cooked. I mean, that's kind of what we think. But by the time we get to what Ephesians is saying, he says, but you put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, take unto you, he says. And then he lists all these pieces of the armor. And then he says, and then pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that we're praying for God in his power, in his strength, in our lives. So then finally, he says, the understanding of prayer, back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Then he says, and watching thereunto. Be vigilant, right? Watchful. We pray for protection, but don't ignore danger. We pray for revival, but it doesn't mean we neglect obedience to God. We pray for victory, but don't fall asleep spiritually. Be watchful. Watch as the devil brings lies and deceptions into our lives. The idea of watchful has the idea of being aware, recognizing attacks, temptations, and opportunities. I'm going to tell you an interesting story. I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I will anyway. Joanna's white van, which she hates. She can't wait to not drive a minivan. But anyway, has this little key fob, right? If you've seen them, and if the key's in it, the car starts. And if it's not in it, the car won't start. So I was at the gas station one time, and in Jonesville, Virginia, and I was cleaning out the car, and I threw the key fob away accidentally and drove off. And so I get home and the thing's beeping. No key detected. Which, if you have four kids, that's not that big a deal because it could be anywhere in the car. And it's happened many times. So I searched everywhere in the car, and I can't find it. And so I realized I've thrown it away at the gas station. It was a disaster. So I said the best thing to do is to go to the gas station and take the entire bag, and I'll take it to the dump, and I'll sort through it, and I'll find the key. Okay? I go back to the gas station, get the can, you know, lid off, grab the bag, throw it in the van, and I go to the transfer station, we called it, which was the was where the dumpsters were. And I get there, and I kid you not, the entire bag is nothing but beer bottles. And I'm sitting there at the dump, Pastor Josh, right? And I'm digging through this bag, and I'm not kidding, up walks a church member. And I'm like, it's not what it seems. I promise you, Joanna's key is in here, and I lost it, and it's da 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 da, you know, and I'm just digging, there's beer bottles everywhere, all around me at the dump. I mean, I was humiliated, right? I mean, it was a disaster. But you know, that's a silly story about understanding. But you know what? Sometimes the devil wants to bring things along and cause temptation and whatever it may be. And so the Bible says to watch, therefore. Don't ignore danger. Don't neglect obedience. But don't fall asleep spiritually. The devil loves if you fall asleep. Spiritual awareness. Recognizing attacks and temptations and opportunities for the devil to bring you down. One more point on this. The enemy doesn't always attack loudly. Sometimes he creeps in quietly through distraction, compromise, and weariness. So we're reminded in Ephesians, we're to pray how often?
Always.
A constant dependence upon God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, he says, watching thereunto, in verse number 18, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. I'll close with one final illustration. It's not a very long illustration. There was a story of a soldier that was famous for winning battles. And the battle that he won, I won't go into all that, but it's an old story of a soldier who survived countless battles. When he was asked how he had won and been involved in so many victorious battles, he said this statement, and I love this. He said, I fought standing, but I won on my knees. That is what verse 18 is telling us. We fight standing, but we win on our knees. So, Christian, what battle may you be fighting today that should be won on your knees? We've been called and instructed about this armor, but we need the power and the strength of God in all things. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, he says. Watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We fight standing, but we win on our knees. Let's bow our heads together. Joanna and Bethany are going to come and play a closing song for us today as they make their way up. Let's take a moment there in our seats, praying always with prayer and supplication. Not rigid, it's a relationship with God. It's not an emergency, it's daily dependence. We're relying upon Him. What do you have today you should take to God in prayer? Do you need to praise Him? Do you need to thank Him? Do you need to confess? Do you need to call on Him for help and direction in a situation you're going through? You may fight standing, but the battle will be won on your knees. Take a moment and talk to the Lord today. This is one sermon that you can practice right away. You can put into your life right away. Talk to the Lord today for just a moment, however the Lord, however the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Let's stand to our feet together. We'll say our final verse together. We love each of you. Hope you have a great rest of your day. We encourage men, if you'd like to stay for prayer time for the men's conference, we encourage you to stay. If you haven't signed up for the conference, please do. We're going to have a fantastic time. And I encourage you also, win your battles on your knees. Seek God. See what He can do in your life. Through prayer. Let's read this together. Are you ready? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Father, we thank you. We praise you this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to pray always. We thank you for the access we have to your throne through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, help us to be dependent upon you, to have an attitude and a posture of prayer every day. And may we seek you and rely upon you and depend upon you. And Lord, we ask that you would do great things. Help us to be alert and aware to the lies, the deceptions of the devil. And may we be always ready to trust and follow you in every area of our lives. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Lead and guide us, and may the Spirit empower us in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Hope you have a great afternoon.